Okay, I've been thinking about a lot this week about God's Mission Impossible. Anyway, that's good. Woo! Now I probably lost you the entire time. Had to do it. Had to do it. Now, when you hear that music, some of you may think about Ethan Hawke, right? And some impossible mission he has to undergo. Sometimes it's some artificial, you know, contagion, right? That could take over the world and just kill, like, millions and millions of people, right? And they got to intervene before that happens. Or maybe it's a nuclear weapon that gets in the hands of some nefarious, right, group of people and how they want to use it. And, you know, it's all about trying to keep a balance of power in the free world. It's something of the plot and the storyline. Yet, sometime along the way in that story even, you don't even know exactly what's going to happen. Now, you kind of know it's going to work out, right? But the situation, the mission is actually impossible. And through a series of things, you wonder, with the twists and turns, how is this mission ever going to be completed? Well, I wondered this week about how God's mission could ever be completed. To redeem fallen humanity. And when you think about it, you know that history proves that's impossible for humanity to save themselves. You know from personal experience in your own life that it's impossible for you to save yourself. So how is God going to accomplish his mission of redeeming and reconciling all that he has made and created, particularly an object of his love, you and I as human beings? It seems like an impossible mission. But through what Jesus has done, think about it, incarnation. God becoming human. That's impossible. Or that God, by way of Jesus' faithful life, all the way up to a cross, the fact that Jesus, being human, could live a perfect life, that too sounds impossible. Or the fact that through Jesus' faithfulness and his death on a cross, obedience all the way to that, and then rising from the dead, that because of what he did, I am now reconciled and redeemed and have a right relationship with God, my creator, now my redeemer. That sounds impossible. Yet, scripture says this. I think these are Jesus' own words, that with God, all things are possible. Mission impossible. And so it brings us to definitions. And so, whoops, that's not the one I want, though. If I've been pushing, oh, that's better. I must have been pushing the button without knowing. Mission, commissioned, in missional mission, okay? So let's start with mission. The Latin word for mission of God is Missio Dei. Maybe you've heard it. It's the Latin version early on in the church. They termed it as this. A mission is to carry something out, to do it every day. It involves belief and commitment and a task to be accomplished. It includes engagement in it, right? It actually has action. You've got to be involved in it. And I say, I'm just going to repeat some things from last week. It involves the head, the heart, the hands, the entire, right, T of our being to engage in the mission of God. Now let me see, is there anything? Well, it involves everyday vocation. Pretty much all of that is there. The thing about the mission of God is that it says that this mission is under the authority of God. It's in tune and in harmony with God's word. It shapes our belonging to a covenant community, right, that belongs to God. So for this, let's take a look at the second word, commissioned. So mission, commissioned, missional mission. CO, what do you think that stands for?
Company.
Company. Colorado? I intentionally capitalized it, but well, it's a prefix. What's a prefix? Well, it's kind of a word or a letter, right, that's fixed to the beginning of another word, which somehow enhances its meaning in some way. So if you know what mission is, and I kind of told you some of the main things about that, a commission simply means with. With mission, or mission with, okay? And in the terms of Scripture and of being a Christian or a follower of Jesus, it has to do with being commissioned, being a co-partner with God in his mission. So I talked about this a little bit too, like what it involves being commissioned is when you come to salvation in Jesus Christ, it's wonderful, right? All the things that it means or whatever, but it just doesn't mean that then the story ends there, like that's all there is. It actually becomes something much bigger. It means that the entirety of your life now is engaging in the mission of God. Saved from means we are saved for. And we talked about a lot of that last week with reforming and transforming. So the great commission, we call it, the great mission with God is when Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us still today, same mission. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so now go. And it's active as you are going, right? It doesn't mean that it's just for missionaries, all right? This is not just for Margaret. This is not just for the Cloyds. This is for everyone who professes the name of Jesus. Your life has been saved for something, okay? And to proclaim the good news, and again, I'm just going to say in thought and word and deed. Now, the Bible is filled with all kinds of special instructions about what this looks like. What this looks like. So, the next word, let me make sure I didn't miss anything I wanted to say. Do, 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 do. Yada, yada, yada. Missional. Mission. The mission of God, commissioned in partnership with, saved from, saved for a missional lifestyle. Now, missional, what is that? Is that a suffix? I should, thank you, you English people out there. Missional gives it a bit more of a adjectival kind of understanding. So it would be more like answering the question, well, how does it look? What is its essence of being missional? So this one, the connection definitely is made as I did some more reading on this, and I've read tons of books on this. And by the way, different sort of Christian circles and America, as well as around the world, they sort of define this in different ways. Here's what I'm distilling from what I've looked at. It's the connection of engaging God's mission in God's world. It actually makes tangible contact with the reality of everyday lives of people, right? Yours and mine and those around us. Has a lot to do. This would be like neighboring, right? Neighboring in the name of Jesus. Everyday, ordinary life. I like the word that it's intentionally incarnational. Incarnation just simply means that we take in, right? Embody would be a good word. We embody the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, and we live it out in a missional way. So, and I'm going to include engaging all of life. Now, some of this came out last week as well, but it's intentionally incarnate. So let me give you just a few phrases from last week's text. I read from Romans, read from Revelation, read from Colossians, and I'm going to give another phrase from Ephesians. I think I mentioned Ephesians last week as well. Some of these phrases from the Message. I want you to hear them again. Because when you think about the missional life, this is what it can look like. Take your everyday, ordinary, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God has and is doing for you. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. With God-given wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, understanding the ways in which God works, the more we learn and understand that, and work hard in His orchard, taking part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. Let the word of Christ, I'm going to call it the message, right? This is from the message of Eugene Peterson, a paraphrase of Scripture. Let the word of Christ, I love this, have the run of the house. The house? This house, okay? Let every detail of your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. This is missional living. So also, Dion and I were talking about this a little bit, and she reminded me of Irwin McManus' message, all right? He's a pastor, he's written a bunch of books. He's out in L.A. He says this when he talks about this kind of missional life, the mission, commission, missional life. He says, go until you get a no. Because what happens sometimes in following Jesus is we get so distracted by everything else, or we just sort of separate our life and the things of our life from God's influence or His awareness of it, right? We kind of put a split in our life. We do it all the time without thinking it. Sometimes it's arrogance. Sometimes it's ignorance. Sometimes it's just not aware, right? Not aware, not intentionally aware. We can get stuck in complicating God's mission. Just go. Be the hands and feet and the words and the voice of Jesus. And as you are going, engage your thought, word, behavior, and action. Sharing the good news, right? Someone else said once famously too, it's like, and if you have to, use words. Okay? Go until you get a no. Then he said this. I know what God is calling you not to do, he said. Nothing. I know what God is calling you not to do. Nothing. I had this thought too, and this came to me this week, is to be aware and beware. This isn't to be negative or to be trying to find like Satan under every rock or whatever, right? Kind of a thing. But it has a lot to do with Scripture's warnings. Where when you decide to follow Jesus, right, it might take you into places you may not want to go. It'll present you with difficulties, right, that you may not have been challenged to take. There's always going to be all kinds of distortions of what the mission of God is. Sometimes theology, right, and the way that it's emphasized or the directions it can go can be a culprit in this. Sometimes social agendas, right, that swirl around us can also be things that want to distort the true mission of God. To be aware and beware is smart discernment along the way. So why do I mention this? Well, it's because, you know, I've been on this 3-year read through the Bible journey, and we're finishing up Luke. We're finishing up Revelation. We're finishing up Proverbs. And the more you see Scripture, you see Jesus' own words to His disciples of saying, be aware. And beware, kind of similar, right, in their sort of meaning and understanding. So important that in the missional life, this mission commissioned missional life of following Jesus, is that we are invested and engaged in things that help us understand God's will for our life and what it means to join him in building his kingdom here on earth. It's his, by the way. He's going to bring it all under his lordship. But the beauty of what we talked about last week was God actually invites us into this. A wonderful privilege. You know, I've been thinking about this too, like I've said this a few times over the last few years, because I'm thinking a lot about like more these times, like when a year ends and a year starts. Some people are like, whatever, it's just another day, turning of the calendar. There's something for me that it actually stops me a bit short, because I'm like, what about the last year? Oh yeah, our youth. I see people, Barb is going off to teach. Youth, if you can, you would like to go at this time, you'll have a little bit of time before we do a dress rehearsal. Frederick Buechner. Said once something like this, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. He said, how do I know what maybe for me, like God designed me for uniquely maybe to engage in God's mission, that what we're talking about today? And he said something like this. It's where your deepest passions, right, the way God has shaped you and called you, where does it actually meet the world's deepest need? Think about that. I'm going to talk about in a minute here some application, and I'll give you some personal examples, because this is for me too. The things of how this could apply, right? How this could flow out in our lives. Sometimes we may think we don't have enough to offer, we don't have enough time to offer. Some of us work full time, some of us don't work. There's all kinds of factors here. It doesn't matter. I'm wondering it for myself. Where does God want me to engage in his mission of something that I can offer in 2025 that can make an impact for Jesus Christ, can influence the world about the good news? And it could be word, it could be action, but it's going to definitely involve something of service where my faith meets the world, right? The good news of Jesus. And I want to put that out there. Like, what is it that potentially you could engage in? I sort of lose track after time. Like 3 years ago, I said, hey, would someone want to join on with Read Through the Bible? Now, there's lots of ways that people do their devotional life. Tons of them. There's so many. And I put out a little call, right? I said, hey, is there anyone still on this? And I know some people started, and then life takes over. This happens, and this happens, and it's hard to catch up, and all of that. Totally. Grace, grace, grace. But I found out that there's about 10 here who are going to complete it. And I'm like, wow. I have a new 3-year Read Through the Bible program. I talked to Miguel, right, the guy that, and I have it in my hands, and I'll be able to send it out to anybody who wants it. I'm going to send it out to the whole church. We're going to have a little time of reflection, right, for people who have completed it, just for those folks to just get together and say, what was it that you heard? What did you learn through this? What did God, how'd God speak to you? This and that. But I don't know of any way that we can understand God's mission for our lives and how we can be in a co-missioned in it if we're not in God's word. Again, there's tons of ways to do it. So please, this isn't coercion. This is an invitation that there's going to be another opportunity. Dionne and I talked about it personally for us, and we both completed it too. But what we're going to, you know, we do it, you know, we don't always read them the same, but I'll tell you what it does, right? It gives us touch points of conversation. And when we're really intentional about it, we'll be like, wow, what did you hear today? Or this or that or that kind of thing. And maybe you could even find a partner, right, to do it with. To be in God's word. to let God's word shape us. So that's one challenge that could be there. And again, I'll make sure, because I think December 29, the new reading starts. So another one, and this is what I want to spend a little more time on, just talking about with what we have left. We have about 5-10 minutes or so. And this is a challenge about volunteering. Some of you already volunteer with regularity. You're really good at this. You might be engaged with EFA or with Habitat for Humanity, or you name it, right? There are lots of places that you can volunteer. During COVID, you know, when everything was kind of shut down and just weird for quite a while, people were staying away from these kind of things in some ways. I actually jumped in and I started doing EFA. So I did EFA for a while. I did Bridge House. I jumped into their mentoring thing, which was perfect for me. I'm figuring, how am I uniquely suited to maybe do that, right? To walk with somebody. And so I did that for two people. And I'm thinking, like, again, like, what does that mean for me? Because right now I'm not actively engaged in either of those or much of anything like that, you know? And I'm like, I need that. So just this week I had a meeting with some pastors who were invited to Avista Advent Health, right up the hill, just out of town. And I learned some things about the hospital, and I felt like God was saying to me, like, Mark, you really should volunteer as a chaplain for people who are in crisis situations. I thought, well, okay, I think that's a good place for me. And so you got to be intentional, right? Like last week after that meeting, I talked to Jonathan Ward, right, who's the head person of that up there. A couple of my other colleagues in town are getting involved, and I thought, this is my call. I'm gonna look into this. So that's something I'm going to do and pursue. And you can ask me about it to see how it comes about, or if it's going to be something else, whatever. There's no hard rules here. But how can we intentionally be engaged in a community of people where you're serving and loving people, where you're meeting a need, but also you'll find out that the need is actually yours? When you serve, you find that out, you know, that the need is actually mine. Blesses me. One other thing. You could talk to Dionne. You know, she's now the executive director of Volunteers in Action. Well, there you go. You want to volunteer. They actually put you in action. And what's interesting about VIA is it's mostly been centered out of Denver, right? And some of the southern and west, eastern suburbs. Well, they're getting requests for volunteers. And you can talk to her about what that could look like. But requests for volunteers in Westminster area. That's not far, right? That also is where some of you may live, nearby at least. So you could ask Dionne about it, and maybe she knows of even someplace else, especially if she knows a little bit about what you feel you could give and a way you could serve. Sometimes it's just being a friend to someone who's lonely, you know. That's all it is, develop a relationship. Okay. I want to share with you one other thing, because God's been kind of rattling this around for Dionne and I for a while. And it has to do with the issue, all right, something that is so heinous and so evil, of human trafficking. When you start doing research on this, you find out some spectacularly satanic, evil, ugly things. Colorado has now jumped up in the ranks to 10th in the nation. And this is just reported stuff, okay? Think about what's not reported. Boulder County has jumped, all right? And by the way, Colorado had its biggest 10-year high 2023. This is growing. It's almost doubled. Boulder County, right here. Where does it rank in all the counties? It's just jumped from like 8th, 7th, to 3rd. If you start looking into the statistics too, of how many children who have come into this country in different ways and means over the last few years, you would be astounded at how many we don't know where they are. And the stories. If you look for it, you will hear them and you will find them, but when you're just ignorant to it, it's just like, well, you're not aware. And so Dionne and I have just been thinking, like, what does that look like for us? I mean, do we have anything to offer to that? Is there any way we can be plugged in rather than just be aware? I think there is. So that's something that I don't know where it will lead, but it's something that Dionne and I are looking into together. With Dionne's experience, right, with Bethany, when she was with them and seeing some of the things too that were happening within that arena, this stuff is all true and it's under the radar, and America is becoming a place where these outfits from around the world operate out of. So I invite you to do your own research, but that's something we're talking about. I have no idea what it means. What about you? What about you? When you think about Advent and you think about the expectation, the anticipation, the preparation for Jesus coming again, and when he comes, it's going to be like this. When he comes, it's going to be sudden. It's going to be swift. It's going to be... How do we prepare? I'll tell you, it's not like it's something you worry about. It's not something that you're anxious about. No, no, no. But it's I think the parables of Jesus say it well. He says, would you get busy bringing about God's kingdom and restoring what is broken and fallen to what should be, in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, in God's fatherly love? What does that mean? What does that look like? It could be as simple as just befriending a lonely person who is asking for a friend. It could be getting involved in human... That one sounds monstrous to me, by the way. And I'm like, how can I help, really? But we're going to look at it and see. So, inviting and engaging Missio Dei. Today, we're not going to have some discussion time. I know we've been doing that. We'll probably return to that next week some. But we're going to finish at 10:30 today. I would like you just to take a minute to actually ask God what could possibly be going on in your heart. And how could God bring you out of your own sort of shell and rhythm of your life to be able to serve? Let's just keep it simple. To serve the world around us in the name of Jesus. What could that possibly be? Just ask God to open up your heart to that, to look for that. I'll tell you what. If it's something that you can bring your kids to or your youth to along with you as parents or as a family, whatever it may look like, I'm telling you what, that teaches your children and your youth so much more than words can say. So take a moment to do that, and I'll close us with prayer. Lord God, we hear all the voices, we hear the activity. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. Lord, I pray that during this Advent season, you would also draw us to the quiet places. Places where sometimes our own heart can be so restless and there's so many voices and people vying for attention and even our own searching, Lord, for our own meaning, even who we are. Lord, I pray that you would draw us into a heart of service. I think of incarnational and I think, wow, your answer to our problem, which was impossible, was to humble yourself. Put your glory aside and take on human form. This is stunning. And then in all your teachings and your ways and your example of death on a cross, of laying down your life, you say no one can have any greater love than to do that for someone else. Lord, slow us down enough to be able to see the important things that maybe we could just invest, if we aren't, you know, like 2, 3, 4 hours a week in some kind of intentional service. And in so doing that you would shape us. Lord, 2025, it would be so good for us to be able to come together on Sunday worship times and people just have a story to tell where periodically we just say, we're just going to share, what is God doing? What's he showing you? What's he revealing to you? The hard things, the joys, and that we'd be able to speak about your working in and through us and around us. Lord, I think of this Avista Hospital thing, and I'm just thank you, God, for this simple thing that they ask everyone who enters the door. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have someone who loves you? Wow. That, Lord, that could be an Advent conversation starter for us. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have someone who loves you? Lord, we pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.